You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
So, church, would you travel back in time with me to this scene and witness the scene for yourself? During the darkness of night, as the moon was shining upon the lake, you hear the crashing sounds of gentle waves upon these fishermen boats. And on board were bored-looking men, yawning, and they were weary as they were staring down at the pitch-black waters. This was Peter and his crew, James and John, silently waiting, hoping that some fish would enter their nets. Yet there was no movement. Hours and hours have passed. As the moon tags out for the sun to take its place, this is signifying the break of dawn. As they reel in their nets, now is full of sea gunk, with faces of defeat, they row back to shore, and they feel inside that they've wasted their whole night. As they anchor their boats, pulling their nets above shore, they begin to clean their nets. Seaweed, seaweed, Samsung Galaxy, seaweed, but no fish.
Amen.
And as they were doing that, they see a commotioning happen a place near them. They see this man teaching and preaching, and so much so that the crowd was going crazy and pressing into this man. And now this man is pressed up against the water's edge. And this man, he sees two boats, and he just simply hops onto one of the boats and he asks Peter, "Hey, is this your boat? Can I use it? Can you move me a little bit away from shore so I can continue to teach?" Peter's probably feeling, I just want to go home. I'm tired. But of course he can't say that. Why? Especially not in front of his countryman who's now staring at him with pleading eyes. And so he goes, "Okay." Rowing the boat out, as now Peter gets the best seat in the house, he sits beside this mysterious rabbi who's teaching and preaching, and he observes the crowd. They are totally listening in intently, glued onto every word that this man had to say. And after a time, the teaching has finished. This man turns to Peter and he says to Peter, "Hey, since we're a bit too near shore, the water's pretty shallow here. Why don't we move over there into the deep and you throw your nets in for a catch?" What is Peter going to say? How is he going to respond to this? We'll find out after we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you send your Holy Spirit. Help us to see whom your Son really is and whom he has called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Sun Life Church, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to me with Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, because my whole sermon would be based on Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And if I could title this sermon, I would title it, Mission is a Core to. Now, mission is a core to a lot of things. But in this passage alone, I see three things. First, mission is a core to obedience. Secondly, mission is a core to humility. And thirdly, mission is a core to follow. You got that? So first off, mission is a core to obedience. Let's pick up in verse 4 of where the story is. Verse 4. Jesus says to Peter, "Put out into the deep waters and let down your nets for a catch." Let down your nets for a catch. Now, if I was Peter, all my reason and logic and experience would be rushing to my head. This isn't going to work. We fished here all night and not one fish. The sun is at its zenith. It is bright. Fish be like, "Oh, is that a net? Oh, not today." It's not going to work, Jesus. Chances are, Peter has been in this fishing business his whole life. His father and his father and his fathers before him were all fishermen. He is a fisherman by blood and trade. He is an expert in this field. Really, Peter had no reason to cast down his nets that he was cleaning or have cleaned. Now, we don't know how far he's got into the cleaning of the nets, because if you were here and if you ever fished with nets before, you know how much of a hassle, how tedious this chore can be. So we don't know if he was just cleaning his nets, he just started and Jesus came. We don't know if he was midway. We don't know if he was close to completing. We don't even know if he's fully completed cleaning the net and packed it away for the next day. And now Jesus tells him to cast down his nets again. That's another round of cleaning. Really, Peter had no reason to cast down his nets. He's tired. He's been up all night. Jesus, give this guy a break. But look at how Peter replies. Because you said so. Jesus, for me, I don't think this is going to work, but because you said so. Because you said so. That's all the reason Peter had. For me, when I do my own personal evangelism or I go out to mission, most of the time, if people ask me, why did you do that? How did you do it? I only could answer them is because I felt like God told me to. Because Jesus told me so. Most of the time, if I am really honest, I don't feel like it. For whatever reason, I'm tired, it doesn't make sense, this is going to make me look silly, I'm going to be embarrassed, sometimes it can get dangerous. But here's the thing, church, miracles, blessing, ministry, success, or even salvation won't happen unless you obey. Amen. Now back in Brisbane, I'm a Brisbane boy, I grew up in this place called Inala. There was a basketball court. There was a basketball court just near my house. And one day I was going home from Bible college, and then I hear the ball bouncing, dunk dunk dunk, and I knew within my heart God was saying to me so audibly, Dexter, go play basketball. And I was like, what, Lord? Look at me. I'm so unco, I'm uncoordinated, I'm unfit, I failed phys ed class, I'm more of a geek, I'm more of a Dungeons and Your Dragons, and I'm more of a Stranger Thing, Dustin sort of guy. Amen. This isn't going to work, they're going to wreck me. But because you said so, I'll go. And so I went, and the result was I did get wrecked. I was horrible at the game. Every time we played from then on, I always got picked last by the captains. Let's fast forward. The story is my game did improve and my relationship with them was being built. And during that time, I could see them giving me weird looks. Like these year 12 students were giving me weird looks. It's like, why is this guy always bringing the Gatorade for us? Why is this guy, he's not swearing when his teammates make a mistake? How come he's complimenting the opposition so much? He's almost fawning over the competition. What's going on with this guy? Amen. They saw that I was a bit different. And time lapsed again, a few weeks later, I started bringing my youth group. My youth boys starting to come to play basketball. And what these year 12 basketball boys started to notice was, hey, it's not just Dexter. It's a whole group of them. There's a whole group of weirdos. They just keep complimenting each other. Like, what is going on? There's no smack talk. Like, this is street ball. We're meant to smack talk, but these guys, they're like high fiving each other, and they're like, there's just so much love. And then we invited these boys to attend our youth group, and when they attended our youth group, they just felt straight at home. Why? Because they already knew everyone from the youth group. And that year, when family camp was close by, it was coming up, we invited all these boys to attend our family camp. And what happened was, we only thought we were going to get a few of these basketball boys, but no, what happened was they started inviting their mates, they started inviting their girlfriends, and so they invited pretty much their whole grade to come to camp. Our youth group back then was only 15. We grew to 70 in that one year. 70 in one year. We had more kids than adults. It was a small church as well. It's a small church family camp. And again, let's fast forward again. One by one, they accepted Christ. One by one, they were baptized. One by one, they picked up instruments to worship, the drums, the bass, and they started praising our Lord. Amen. Two of them went to Bible college. And one of them, just 2 weeks ago, called me up and said, "Hey, Dexter, I know that you planted a church. I'm a part of a church plant now. Can you give me some advice?" Crazy. Crazy. And the only reason I had for that, because God told me to. And so me and my youth boys, we just let down our nets. So Sun Life Church, if any one of you here want your church to grow, sometimes you just need to let down your nets. With Peter's obedience, as he threw down his nets, there was such a large crowd of fish that enters his nets that it began to break. It was so much fish that Peter had to holler at his mates, "Peter, James, and John, bring the other boat. I need some help." And I also want you to know that when you do evangelism or when you do mission, you don't have to do it solo. You can do it with a squad. That's what my youth group did, and that's how we grew. In today's context, when we think about fishing, we think about it's very individualistic, that there was a guy with a tackle box and with a fishing rod. But in the ancient world, fishing took teamwork because they used such large nets that there was no way that one man could reel the nets back in. So it was by no accident, it was by no coincidence that Jesus used this metaphor for mission. Do it together. And that's why I believe our senior pastor here, Pastor Ben, who a few months ago, he let down his nets and he accepted the role of the chaplain for a footy club. And you know what I see on his Insta story a lot? He brings his whole family with him to encourage that team. That his whole family, that's his fishing team. But Sun Life Church, I don't want you to leave it to just your pastor and his family or Pastor Timothy's family or just a few leaders and elders within your church to do this. No. It's all hands on deck. Amen. Let's all do this together. Amen. And you know what? A church that stops seeking for the lost is usually lost itself. Amen. And the Bible says that the nets were ripping and the boats were sinking. Both boats were so full of fish that it began to sink. And now an ancient fishing boat is around 6 to 9 meters long or 2 to 3 meters wide. And I don't know how high, yee high. But imagine all of it full with fish. That's a lot of fish. This is the fisherman's dream. This is the dream catch. What we would expect, right, would be a lot of celebration. Whoo! Look at all that snapper. Look at all that barramundi. Look at all that salmonella. Salmon. We would expect celebration and excitement, but in this moment, Peter felt like he was struck by lightning. For he now knows who is really in his boat. And once he knew whom was in his boat, he says, "You don't belong in my boat. I'm not worthy to have you in my boat. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Now this leads me to my second point. Mission is a call to humility. Now why did Peter react that way? Why such an exaggerated, such a fearful expression? Because being near God is not so much a toasty, warm and fuzzy feeling. Because the biblical God, with all his glory and his holiness, causes great discomfort to sinners. Actually, it's more fatal to sinners. Peter grew up as a Jew. He knew how dangerous for him to be near a holy agent or a holy being. He would have grew up with stories with Moses. Moses said, "Lord, I want to see you face to face." And God says, "No, you can't see me face to face. If you see me face to face, you're dead." And so what happened is, as God passed by, he hid Moses beneath some rock. There was another story about the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant is the representation of God's dwelling, of God's presence. And there was a story where the Ark of the Covenant was being returned to the city of David. And there was this guy who was carrying it, saw that the ark was a little bit wobbly, a little bit tipping. And so he went to try to catch it, and shazam! No, he didn't get any superpowers. He just got smitten and died on the spot. Poor guy, he was just trying to catch the thing. Another story was the prophet of Isaiah. He only saw the hem of God's robe in the temple, and he says, "Woe to me! For I am a man with unclean lips." In other words, I am a sinner. Peter here is the same. He says, he knew he was in the presence of God. He says, "Get away from me, Lord. I am a sinner." A sense of unworthiness, a sense of fear welled up within him. He's humbled and he's broken. But Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." Did Jesus know that Peter was a sinner? Yeah. But that didn't stop Jesus from using Peter. Maybe you're here today and you feel a sense of unworthiness. You feel so unworthy that you feel that you can't be used by God, let alone be in His presence. That's why you have been staying away from your Bible, because it reveals your sin. That's why you have been shying away from praying to Him, because you just can't stand His holiness. And you're ashamed of what you have done. You're ashamed of who you are. You're feeling so undeserving. Maybe that's why you don't tell anyone about the gospel, because you just feel like a hypocrite. But here is the goodness of Jesus. He meets you at where you are. He accepts you for who you are, but he does not leave you as you are. And I have a friend, his name is Mark Broadbent. He's also a church planter, and he quotes this. "Our sin makes us feel like we can't approach God. Yet, because of our sin, God approached us. Jesus would have never come to earth, died on the cross, rose again, if it wasn't for his love for sinners. Our sin does not stop us from becoming a Christian. Our sin is the very reason why we should become Christian. Jesus came to saturate himself in sinners, died as a substitute for sinners, rose again to give sinners new life. And he uses these sinners who are in the process of sanctification to reach sinners." Amen. And here's what I believe. The moment you are saved, you are sent. We don't just become mere receivers of the gospel, but we are also called to be imparters of the gospel. And in Luke's gospel here we have it. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." In Matthew and Mark's gospel, they record it a little bit differently, Jesus saying, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." But imagine, what if Peter never followed? Let's think about it. Did Jesus need Peter? Of course not. What if Peter said, no, you can't use my boat? You think Jesus wouldn't be able to preach the God's words? No. Because really, we have Jesus. And who is Jesus? He's the man who could walk on water. He could defy the law of buoyancy. Wouldn't that be cool? If Peter said no to letting Jesus use his boats, imagine Jesus just starts walking back on the beach towards the water, and he's just water bending the whole time. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't the crowd's mouth be open and a gap, wide-eyed open, seeing a man teaching God's word and he's floating and surfing? Wouldn't that be more amazing? But you know what? Jesus still chose to enter the boat of Peter. And he says to Peter, can I use your boat? In other words, what he was really saying, hey, can I use your boat as my stage, as my pulpit, as my platform to preach the word of God? Does God need you? No, he doesn't. But he still chooses you and I. And he asks us, can I enter your lives? Will you let your life be my stage, be my pulpit, be my platform to preach the gospel? Peter was not chosen because he was good. He was chosen because Jesus was good. This would have really humbled Peter. Louis Giglio says this, humility is not a character trait that we developed. It is the natural byproduct of being with Jesus. Peter confronting now who he knows is God, the creator of the universe, the God that created everything, the Alpha and the Omega. He is humbled. And we are all called to a task, to follow, to be catchers of men. We are to be involved in growing the population of heaven. It's about people. And under Jesus' command, would you humbly give him your boat, your life, to be his vessel, would you? A call to mission is a call to obedience. A call to mission is a call to humility. And lastly, a call to mission is a call to follow. Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. What does that mean? Dr. Timothy Keller explains, what Jesus means is, I want you to follow me fully, so intently, so enduringly, that all other attachments in your life looks weak by comparison. When Jesus says, follow me, it wasn't on the basis of what we have been, but who we may become. Notice this and don't miss this. When Jesus says, follow me, it wasn't so much that what we could make of ourselves. No, look at this. When Jesus says, follow me, he says, and I will make you fishers of men. This being fishers of men, it's not something that we fight for, that we conjure up within ourselves, that we strive towards and work hard towards to become fishers of men. No. Jesus says, follow me and it will come naturally. Follow me and the fruit of that is you will start beginning to have a heart for souls who are lost. You would be sharing the gospel. You will have to have a burden for it. Now, if you don't have a burden for the gospel, chances are you're not really following. Follow me. And the miracle that just happened in this passage for Peter and his crew actually becomes a metaphor for their ministry life to come. Whereas, as they follow Jesus, when their nets were breaking and their boats sinking, when they caught so much fish, look at the miracle again. Look at the miracle again. The miracle does not bring glory to these fishermen. But this miracle brings glory to Jesus. Why? Because his majesty was on display. It wasn't so much that these fishermen had good boats, that they had good nets that they bought from BCF. No. Who caused the catch? Jesus did. It wasn't any human technique or strategies or skills involved. It wasn't that these men threw the net in just right or was perfect timing. No. None of that. It was purely by the power and the grace of Jesus that he drew these fish into the nets. And in verse 6, when it says a great amount of fish was caught, or a great quantity, or a great number, depending on which Bible translation that you may have, but the word great amounts is plethos in the Greek. It often translated later on as multitudes. Multitudes, always attached to people. multitudes of people or a great crowd of people. It's the same word used here. Why? Because Jesus was illustrating what is happening in your boat, Peter, that will happen with men. So church, trust that God draws in the fish, and He is also the one that draws in the men and the people. So it's not so much us, huh? Why are we stressing? Why are we making all these excuses? I can't do this, I can't do that. But Jesus can. And He calls us to follow Him. And you know, sometimes we just need to let down and drop down our nets. Even if He calls us to a place where we think there is no fish. Maybe we fished there before and not one fish, and we tried and tried again, but it was still nothing. Maybe He's called us to a place that is impossible. Maybe He's called you to a place where you believe that the soil is barren, that the harvest is not yet, that time is not yet. Maybe you, in your life right now, you have a family member, or that friend, or that work colleague, and you feel that their life is so far away from God, no way would they be God's. And you know what? I challenge you, Sun Life Church, to let down your nets this week. This week, maybe you will start getting some burden within your heart, some stirring within your soul. You would know that it's God. You would know. And in that time, I hope for you to be obedient and just humbly cast down your nets and see a miracle. Follow Him. Follow Him. And look what happens in verse 11. So they pulled up their boats upon the shore, and they left everything and followed Him. In essence, when they left everything, their boats, their nets, in essence, they left their homes. Maybe some of you are here today and you're actually called to leave your job, to leave the course that you're studying and to go into Bible college to prepare yourself for ministry. Maybe some of you here are actually called to leave and sell everything in your home and actually go into mission. Maybe. But most of us here, we will still be in the office tomorrow. We'll still go back to class tomorrow. We'll still go to work tomorrow. But as we go to those places, I hope that you come in with a new purpose. I hope you enter it with a missional mindset. His mission, our mission. Boats full of fish. Two boats full of fish. And 9 meters, 3 meters wide, yee-high. That's a lot of fish. How much money would have gotten if they sold all this fish? But you know what? These disciples, they left that miracle to follow the Messiah. And they knew that this is not a trade down, this is a trade up. They knew their journey has just begun. In Sun Life Church, I know that you just recently had your 8th year birthday. You've seen a lot of miracles that happened in this place, salvation and baptism in this place. But I tell you what, Sun Life Church, you have seen nothing yet. You've seen, your journey has just begun. Services are full, multiple services are full, different campuses. Your journey has just begun. The best is yet to come. Follow Him. And one last story I want to tell you before I finish off. By now you would know that I love going camping. And there was this one camp where the females, the sisters, were cooking breakfast for the brothers. But there was this one jar of jam that did not want to be opened. The lid just couldn't open. The girls couldn't open the lid. And so one of the girls came to the guys and said, "Hey guys, can you open this jar?" And all the boys, with all their testosterone pumping within their veins, and they wanted to impress the girl, like, "Yeah, we can do it. I'll open the jar." And so the first guy, he takes the jar, and he's grunting, and he's trying, and he's using his shirt for extra grip, and he's just banging it on the table. And after a few minutes, nothing. The lid did not budge. It seemed like it was glued to this jar. It felt like it was melded and welded to this jar. And so the second guy comes up and starts mocking the first guy. He goes, "Oh, you're so weak. Do you even lift? Give me a try." And so he takes over. He takes this jar. And as he's twisting, he's grunting, and he's not breathing. And we were scared for him because he was coming blue. We thought that one of his arteries was going to pop. But still of no avail. The jar lid did not budge. Then the third guy says, "Oh, you guys are weak. Give me a try." And with a flick of his wrist, pop. "Oh, this is so easy. Oh, you guys are weak. You guys are horrible." And starts mocking and teasing the two guys before him. But then these two guys said something that I will never forget. They said, "That's because we loosened it." So here's the point of why I'm telling this story, church. With mission, I'm just trying to reiterate it for you. With mission, you don't have to do it solo. You can do it with the squad. You can do it with the team. That's what Alpha is for. That's what your small connect groups are for. Imagine if your small connect group, when you go back after this service finished, you gather around with your tribe, your team members, and you just commit to serving some non-believers within your influence. Imagine how much more your church would grow. Do it together. That's why the vision and the theme of the sermon is His mission, our mission, not my mission, not individual, it's our mission. Our mission. So Sun Life Church, would you let Jesus use your life, your boat as His stage, as His pulpit, as His platform? Would you let Him use you as His vessel? Would you cast down your nets in obedience and humility when He tells you to do so, trusting that He's going to make you fishers of men, and that He will bring the fish, that He will bring the salvation because He is the Savior? Mission is a call to obedience. Mission is a call to humility. And mission is a call to follow. God bless you, church.